Welcome to Prior to the Snap. Thanks so much for joining us for another special edition of our interview series. Today, I have an extraordinary, amazing special guest. I have the one, the only, I have Kevin Cox with me, and I'm going to introduce him properly here in just a minute. But first, let me say a massive thank you to everybody out there that's listening, EPH 511, everybody that's listening on the Gospel Station, if you're listening to us on the Roku app, everybody out there, 105.7 out there in Western Oklahoma. You guys are hearing us loud and clear out there everywhere from Sealing to Watonga to Woodward to Mangum, so many different places I can name, Yukon, Mustang. I hear you. I see you. Folks, thank you guys. Don't forget, also, we were available on every major streaming service, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and don't forget my favorite thing to do to upset you guys. You can always say, Alexa, play Prior to the Snap radio show on TuneIn Radio, and for some of you, your Alexa is going to start playing right now. So, let's get into this. I have a man, I tell you, I met him years ago, and he has such a dynamic and charismatic personality. You can't miss him. There's always people around him, and you can tell that he's a leader. So without further ado, because I'm not going to say anything about his football prowess yet, he's going to do that for you as we go through this interview. I want to bring in the amazing, the gold standard, Kevin Cox. Kevin, how you doing today, bud?
What's up, brother? I'm doing well.
It is awesome to be sitting here with you. I tell you, I met you in probably 2012, 11, a million years ago, and I've been blessed that I've been able to gravitate for several years around circles that you've been in and see some of the amazing things that you've done, and just, I am very thankful to have the opportunity to have you here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man, who would have thought all those years ago that we would be doing podcasts about, you know, the level of football that I'm a part of?
Yeah, yeah,
it's just wild. Crazy the way has evolved, and to be able to tell our story and tell who we are and kind of what makes us is I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's natural progression. I have so many questions, so much for people to get to learn about you here today, so much to learn about the Oklahoma City Bears. Let me jump right into my very first question that I have for you. When did your football career begin and or end? Because obviously you're a coach. So as a player, when did your journey start?
Yeah, so I started playing football in seventh grade. The Little League program out where I was back then, Eastern Oklahoma and Hera, it wasn't a big presence. You would have to go into Choctaw and play football. And I was playing basketball and playing baseball and playing soccer and doing a bunch of other stuff. So I just really didn't play Little League football. But as I got into it in seventh grade, obviously you just fall in love, and it's like, oh man, like it was just kind of the X's and O's. I just fell in love with it. And, you know, into high school, I actually stopped playing ball my junior year.
Wow.
We got a new basketball coach, and I was like, you know, I want to be in off season with him. I want to start on the basketball team as a, you know, going into this year with the new guy. And I didn't play football my junior year. And I missed it, but I ended up starting, and it all kind of worked out. And then I got back into it my senior year, and I played middle linebacker. I played tight end, and I kicked and I punted. And I was pretty exceptional as a kicker and punter.
Yeah,
I hated the stigma of, oh, he's a kicker and a punter. I'm like, no, I'm a tight end and I'm a linebacker. I'm just really good at this. And you know, I had a chance to go to college and play some football up in Kansas at a small school. Went up there, and it's just like, man, I don't know if I want to play football. I think I just want to coach.
Yeah.
And I ended up coming home, and my linebackers coach at Hera High School, he was also our special teams coordinator, he actually just kind of got thrusted into the head coaching role. He was a young guy, and me and him were really close. And he saw something in me before anybody did. And he asked me if I wanted to come and coach wide receivers while I was still in school. And I said, absolutely, because this is what I want to do. And we were at Hera for 2 years, and you know, we got throttled a lot, but we coached football. Like, teams that coached against us knew, like, okay, they might not have the athletes, but from a scheme standpoint, they're gonna cause us a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And so that was, you know, when we really started tinkering with a lot of scheme stuff and really just fall in love with it. You know, I got my mentor and he sees this in me and we're able to communicate really well. And his strengths are my weaknesses are his strengths. And it was just perfect. And we were at Hare for 2 years. And then from Hare, an opportunity came at Millwood High School. And so I was, how do you say no to that? So I go into Millwood as a young coach, 20 years old, still in school, coaching wide receivers the first year. Coach Henry was the offensive coordinator, and Coach Bell brought us in. Coach Bell was our defensive coordinator at Hare. So it's just, you know, it's a family thing. And he brought us into Millwood. He was there for 1 year, and then, you know, he ended up being the head coach at Claremore the next year. And Coach Henry got the head coaching job at Millwood, and I became basically the co-offensive coordinator under him, and I ran all the special teams, and we won a state title that next year in 2006-07 with Gerald Jones at quarterback, and we had Gil Roberts, who won a 4x4 gold medal at the Rio Olympics in 2016.
That's amazing.
We had Tremaine Swindle, who played at Texas Tech under Mike Leach, a wide receiver. But we had all kinds of guys. We were really, really good. And God rest his soul. So that kind of gets back into me playing. Yeah. So I wasn't playing, I was just coaching.
You know, it's interesting, and listen to you say that, it sounds like from a very early age, you had a very top-down view of football, that you weren't viewing football just from that standpoint of, oh, I just see what's in front of me. You clearly were a true student of the game, looking down almost, you know, seeing, like you said, the X's, the O's, the movements, the progressions. It's really interesting.
Yeah, so I would go up to the field house on Saturday and Sundays when the coaches were up there, and I would break down stuff with them.
Oh, wow.
And I would learn how to, we call it bean count.
Yeah.
I would learn how to basically see the tendencies and see what we were doing. And, you know, I didn't see things from I didn't see things as clearly as I do now from a scheme standpoint. Back then, I was more of a wide receiver quarterback guy, and I didn't really understand everything as well as I should in the run game.
Right.
And the older I got, the more things just started clicking and clicking. And I was like, oh, man, okay, I kind of see things. I went from throwing it 50 times a game to, man, let's get in three backs and just beat the snot out of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it all kind of depends on the team that you got, too, and your skill set and what kind of athletes you have every year. And that's in the high school. That's at this level because every year is different.
Right.
So, yeah, early on I thought about things a little differently from that. And I always knew I wanted to be a coach.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, I stopped playing to coach. And then basically in spring of 2007, I think, or 2008, I had a buddy that was playing arena football up in Ohio, Marion, Ohio, with the Marion Mayhem. And he would call me. You know, we were in spring football there at Millwood at the time. And he would call me and just be like, man, it's so fun up here. Like, I wish I had one of my homeboys up here. And I was like, yeah, but we're all done playing. You know, there ain't nobody that come up there with you. And he's like, dude, our kicker sucks. He's like, you should come do it. He's like, you even kick? And I was like, man, I'd mess around at practice just because it's something I enjoy doing. And I had an aunt that worked for Southwest Airlines, and she was able to give me a buddy pass. And I flew up there on a Thursday, and I had a private workout with the coaches. And Friday, we all show up, and the old kicker walked in, and they kind of handed him his walking papers.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, yeah, you're going to go suit up with us this weekend. And we were going to Pennsylvania, like Eastern Pennsylvania, like Erie, Pennsylvania. I forget the team's name. And it was my one game, man. I go out there, my first extra point. I didn't tell them this, but during the tryout, like the Thursday and Friday practices, like I'd mess something up in my room.
Oh,
like,
wow.
You know, I don't stretch. I'm an idiot when it comes to stuff like that. So I didn't tell them. I was like, man, I wanted to have this experience.
Yeah.
Like my homeboy, you know, met one of my best friends since high school.
Yeah.
He's here with us, like, playing pro ball, man. This is fun. Like, this is going to be a great experience. And the first extra point, man, I just felt it snap. I walked back into the back, and I pulled my football pants down. It was just black and blue all the way down my knee. And I knew. I was like, well, that's it for me today.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, but we only got one guy.
Yeah.
We brought you. And I was like, I mean, I can show you what's going on.
Yeah.
So they trot me back out for a field goal, and I just, it was I submarined it. It was just terrible. Oh,
mercy.
I couldn't barely walk.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still had to kick off a couple times. And I could barely move.
Yeah.
And I ended up, I made a tackle, like, on a kickoff. It was crazy. And I just walked to the sideline. I was like, listen, man, one of these other guys has to do it.
Yeah.
My football days are over.
Oh, so man.
So we come back on the 10-hour bus ride.
Yeah.
All the way back to Marion, Ohio, which is like, I think it's south of Columbus. Uh-huh. And we get back in at like 5 in the morning. And so that buddy pass I had was basically like an open-ended ticket.
Yeah.
I could just show up and be like, y'all got room?
Yeah, yeah.
And so one of the guys, they drop us off outside the arena to go in the locker room, get our stuff. And one of the dude that actually picked me up, the player that picked me up when I came in from the airport, I just looked at him and was like, dog, I'll give you $40. Take me back to the airport. I said, they can have my game check.
Yeah.
They can have everything.
Oh my
gosh. I just want to go home.
Yeah.
I was hurting so bad. I basically had to stand up half the flight home. I couldn't do anything. And it was miserable. But the story.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The experience, being able to play with my buddy and, you know, I'm coaching high school ball, doing what I love, and I have a chance to go play football in an arena setting.
Yeah.
And now, you know, 14, 15 years later, we got an opportunity to take our football team that I'm coaching now and go play an arena team.
It's so amazing.
So, like, it's crazy all the doors that have been opening.
Yeah, yeah.
Since I got back into this, like, 9 months ago. So, yeah, you know, to make a long story longer, you know, it's like – I've always known I was going to be a coach.
Yeah.
Football's always been something that just the X's and O's of the offensive line play, the finding space, getting guys the ball, you know, just seeing an athlete and going, oh my gosh.
Let me ask you this. In coaching, you have to have been met with a myriad of challenges, ups and downs. Let me ask you this. How do you navigate on a personal basis, not letting the highs get too high, the lows get too low? How do you navigate that whole thing?
I just expect to have the highs all the time.
Fair like, enough.
It's like there's always going to be lows. The thing about it is you just got to understand, like, just from a football analogy, the ball is shaped pretty wildly, right?
Right.
So that ball can bounce all kinds of ways.
Absolutely.
So just if you think about it like that, all kinds of wild things can happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All kinds of things.
Yeah.
So if you prepare and you find the right players and you have the right schemes and you have the right mindset, you're able to, I call it be the ultimate puppet master, because you're having to manage so many personalities, and each guy is different, and you have to be able to just take every situation and treat it differently, and just go, okay, well, this has never happened to us.
Like, right.
How do we do this? Well, this is how we did it this time for this situation, so let's start here and work through it and see how it goes.
Adaptability.
Yeah,
I like
it. You gotta be adaptable. And that semi-pro, you know, playing it.
Yeah.
You might see a guy one week and might not see him for 3 weeks.
Exactly. Exactly.
So at this level, I just think I've figured out how to maneuver.
Yeah.
Like,
let me ask you this. When I told someone that I was interviewing you, I was told that you were, quote, an offensive mastermind. How do you feel about being referred to as such?
Oh, I just steal a lot of cool things from a lot of guys, and I add my own wrinkles.
Yeah.
Where I see a scheme and I'm like, man, I really like that. Like,
yeah.
For my personnel, we could do that and then this, this, and this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I find good things that work well, and I find guys that I can plug into that, and we can do it on our level. I think I do see things. Like, I'm able to kind of see the whole big picture.
Right, right.
And where some guys can only see certain parts of it. And I think a lot of it is, too, is I trust my guys. Like, especially my players that, like, okay, I know you've been through the fires with me.
Yeah.
I know, like, when you tell me you see something, you know what we see together. And I give my guys a lot of freedom to come to me and say, hey, man, like, we see this. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And I'll ride with them. And when it stops working or it just looks like a circus, I'll look at them and say, well, you don't get to do that no more until I trust you again.
Right, right.
But it's like you got to have trust in your guys and know, like, I know that I'm going to have real football dudes because I'm recruiting real football dudes.
Yeah, and we're going to talk heavily about that as well. So, okay, in the promotional package on Facebook that we did with this upcoming interview, it was interesting. One of the pictures that I utilized, I got it from you, has a lot of stats on it. Yeah. And I want to kind of talk about this, especially for the uninitiated, those who are listening for the first time, who are like, who in the world is this guy? You know, I had several people who messaged me. They saw that and they were like, what is this? So if you don't mind, I want to ask you a little bit about some of what's in this. And we just kind of take a second and we break this down because you are a proven successful coach. I mean, I'm going to read through it real quick and then we're going to come back. 15 seasons, 179 games coached, 163 wins, 16 losses, 91% winning percentage, 13-1 in championship games, 2 national championships, 9 league championships, 2 bowl championships, and 1 national runner-up. That is an absolute mouthful. And I tell you, this says a lot. There are guys that would be happy to say, man, this is my legacy, this is it, and hang it up. Here you are. I mean, this is at the apex of your career. So let's talk about it. 15 seasons, man, you've seen a lot.
Yeah, so I got into this level in 2009, 2010. So Brian Tucker, who he played for a lot of my really good teams, he was a volunteer coach at Millwood while we were there, helping out with the O-line. And he was like, hey, I coach this, or I play for this team.
Right.
We need a coach. Is this something you would want to do? And at first I was like, yeah, I don't think so. You know, I was spending a lot of time in the springs getting our kids at Millwood the spring practices and watching, you know, Division I practices and taking them on recruiting trips. I was like, I just don't know if I'll have the time.
Right.
And the more I thought about it, the more I talked to Coach Henry, who is our head coach there at Millwood. He was like, man, you just get a call plays and mess with scheme stuff and do it like with, you can go recruit guys and get them out of college. He was like, you can make this whatever you want to make this. Like, you can coach, you know, Uncle Drew that's, you know, drinks 30 beers a week and hanging out, or you can really go get athletes out of college and be like, hey, man, like, I'm a real coach.
They handed you a blank canvas.
Kind of. And we had a team. Like, there was guys from the Oklahoma City Gunners.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Robert Dennis, he was the owner of the team. So basically, Tuck introduced me to them. It was me, Red Love, God rest his soul. He passed away at least a decade ago now. But he was instrumental in doing what we were doing. But it was me, Big Mike, Tuck, Red Love, and Robert Dennis. And we were having a meeting at Millwood, and I was just like, this is who I am as a coach. Like, if I come on, I really have confidence that I'll be able to build a team that will win as many championships as you guys want. And we shook hands right there, and we got to work. And me and Red started, you know, I started saying, these are the skill guys I want. These are the offensive linemen I want. This is the type of defensive guy we want. And he started going out and hustling.
Yeah.
And we started building something crazy. We lost our first game to the Stillwater Outlaws, who were the defending champions at that time. We lost 14-7 to them. And we didn't lose a game again until the summer of 2012.
My word.
So we won 38 in a row, and we ended up winning the league that year in 2010. We won in 2011. We won in 2012. So those were all the spring portion of it. And then in 2012, we decided, okay, we want to see what we can do with this. And we joined a league called the Gridiron Developmental Football League. And at that time, it had like 121 teams in it. And it was like as far up as New York into Boston, and it came all the way down to Tennessee. And then it had us and the Oklahoma, or the, basically the Oklahoma Thunder, where they're based out of Tulsa. But they were the big guys then. Like, yeah, they were beating everybody. I mean, beating people 100 to nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were quietly building this team in the city, and we were winning the city league. And I was like, all right, we got the guys. Let's go do this. And we jumped in the GDFL in 2012, kept that winning streak going. We beat the Thunder. We were the first team, I think, ever to beat the Thunder multiple times in one season. And we beat them on the road, like, week 3, 34-20, I think. And then we beat them at Millwood, 34-27, or 37-24 or something. And then we met them in the playoffs, in like the second round or third round or something. and they showed up with a completely different team.
Yeah.
And we ended up losing 24-21 and snapped the 38-game winning streak.
My word.
And, so it starts there with the Diamondbacks. And then 2013 rolls around, and Robert just kind of, his family was growing, and his daughters were getting older, and they were more active in sports. And he was like, I just don't know if I can do the summer thing that you guys want to do. And it's just not going to work. And so we didn't want to just take the Diamondbacks name. We wanted that to just kind of, hey, that was a good run. This is what we did. We know this is where it started. And we kind of branded ourselves into the Oklahoma City Bounty Hunters. It was me, Coach Kelly, and Coach Trepanier, who ran Belbon's business at the time. Still runs it, actually. And Coach Kelly has always been our D coordinator. Me and him met at Millwood. He was our D coordinator there for our state title team. And from there, he went and coached Arena One football with the Las Vegas Gladiators. So he's done real football. Like, he was Edmund Santa Fe's second or third head coach, like way back in the early 2000s, maybe the late 90s. He's coached at University of Memphis, University of Maryland, Eastern Illinois, Panhandle State. He's coached at a lot of big places. And he didn't coach that first year with the Diamondbacks, but I was able to get him on the next year. And from there, we were building and building.
Yeah.
And it gave us legitimacy on both sides of the ball. And so we built into the Bounty Hunters there, and we did that from 2013 to 2017. We played in a national league, basically. And so we played teams all across the Southeast, Louisiana, Georgia, Tennessee, Arkansas, Kansas, even went up to Colorado. So we kind of played more of a national thing. And then that disbanded in 2017, after that season, that disbanded. And so basically we just kind of let that team, that name rest. And I joined on with the team called the Oklahoma City Jaguars. And I joined on with them week two. They were owned by a guy named Skyler Bates and Walls. We'll just call him Walls. And they lost their first game to Tri-City, who's out of Tulsa. And a bunch of the former Bounty Hunters were playing on that team. And they're like, hey, man, just come on. You can fix this. You can get us right. And I joined on week two, and we went 10-0 and beat Tri-City in the championship game. And from there, it morphed into the Bears, basically. So it kind of gets us to present day. So
let me remind everybody, you guys are listening to Prior to the Snap, the Prior to the Snap radio show. Thank you again, everybody out there, EPH 511 105.7, interviewing the amazing Kevin Cox. So, you know, there's, and again, there's so much to unpack there. Let me, I'm just going to kind of jump down to the bottom of this, where you talk about the 9 league championships, 2 bowl championships, and a national runner-up. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we just, like I said, it started with the Diamondbacks, and we just got really, really good.
Yeah.
And we just knew how to build teams. We knew how to get guys to play for us. Like, I'm pretty good at building relationships, I think, with these guys. I kind of understand how they tick. I'm not perfect. I'm kind of a knucklehead sometimes. And so it's like, I get them.
Yeah.
And, this is an awesome thing that we're doing. And it's like, we can take guys who aren't perfect and stuff like that. And we can get them, and we can get a purpose.
Yeah.
And do some really cool stuff. And football's the greatest thing ever. And it's like, I'm not coaching high school ball no more right now. I started working in the oil and gas industry, so it kind of got me out of that. So this level of football kind of kept me tied in with all that. And like I said, just being able to find the right guys, we were able to recruit colleges, guys out of colleges, guys who were basically pro free agents looking for a place to just play football, to be able to have film, to be seen by arena teams, CFL teams, XFL teams.
That's amazing.
And we've had guys throughout the years get those workouts. So basically all the winning and all the success that we've had is because we build our, we build our rosters and our coaching staff. We're good people who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And we play a really good brand of football. And, like I said, we're able to recruit good football players.
Let's talk about the Bears, the Oklahoma City Bears. I feel like every time I get on Facebook, I see something about the OKC Bears. So clearly you're doing something right. I want you to tell me about the recruiting journey. As we've seen, you've managed to procure some amazing talent from around the state to play ball for the Oklahoma City Bears. I mean, just all the different announcements, different things on Facebook I've seen. Just, yeah, Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so this is my first year back with the Bears in 2 years.
Yeah.
And like the first 3 years was really, really good. You know, 36-3 record, three back-to-back-to-back league titles, bowl championships. And, you know, it kind of got to a point to where it kind of ran its course a little bit. And I could see that. And it was like, all right, well, I'm having some health issues in my back. I'm having some really bad problems with my hip. Blood pressure is starting to spike 200 over 110. I need to, you know, maybe I can't have the workload that I have of running this whole thing.
Right.
And so I was like, you know, I think I'm going to be done. So the first 3 years were really good. And then walked away in 2022 from the Bears. And I actually was done coaching football. My nephew, who had played for us with the Bears, he actually moved on to the Tulsa Gators. And, you know, they're our big rival. And so he moved on up there in 2022. I wasn't coaching football. And a couple weeks go into it, and I started getting some messages like, hey, you want to come up here and just coach football? I was like, I don't know, man. I've always been a guy in the city, and Tulsa's always been our rival. And I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And then the more I talked and the more I talked to all these guys, I was like, man, I just really want to coach football. Maybe this is what I need to get outside of my box, get up there, you know, not have the workload to where I'm so exhausted and my back's killing me that I just can't do all the things I need to do. So being able to go to a team like Tulsa, I was able to not just have a crazy role. Like, you know, obviously they could lean on me with certain things because of all the success I've had, and, you know, they couldn't beat me. So it was like one of those, all right, like, what would you do in this situation? And, you know, I still understood, like, this is something they've been building. I've always respected them.
Right.
And they always had a great coaching staff and really good football players. Like, some years they probably had a better roster than us out the bottom. But at the end of the day, it's just we're a machine, man.
Like, yeah.
What we do, how we play, the style we play, just it's hard to beat us when we're going.
Right.
And, you know, so me leaving the Bears and, you know, kind of opened some things up for the league. Going up to Tulsa for me was great from a health standpoint. Just being able to get outside my box and meet new people, create new relationships. And then 2023, I didn't coach anywhere. You know, the back and the hip just
right.
It was no good. And the blood pressure, like I said, spiking 200 over 110. And I'm thinking I'm stroking out. And I'm like, what is going on?
To anybody out there hearing this, by the way, make sure you take your health seriously.
Yeah. And you know, being a macho guy, you know, an alpha-type personality who you think like that, and you're like, what? I'm just being a dummy.
Yep.
Like, what am I doing
here? Yep.
Like, let me take care of myself better. So I needed 2023 to kind of figure that out. And, you know, being away from it allowed me to figure that out. And, you know, I started seeing a chiropractor out in Hera Family Chiropractor, Dr. Tyler. And I'm gonna plug him all day every day because he's part of the reason why I'm here right now.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't do anything. Hmm. And then within 3 or 4 weeks, he was just getting me realigned and back in order. And I was out jogging 4 or 5 miles a day in 3 or 4 weeks. And it's like, he gave me a new outlook on a lot of things. And he, you know, he stresses the importance of a lot of things to me. And he keeps me going down a path I want to go. And it's like, it's allowed me to get back to football, to doing what I love. And so, yeah, 2023 and 2022, not being with the Bears, but allowed me to be like still creating relationships with guys,
yeah.
You know, not being a part of it. I was able to kind of talk to everybody.
It's that top-down view again almost.
It is. And being in Tulsa that 1 year, you know, it allowed me to create relationships with guys up there.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of brings us back to the recruiting part of it now is,
yeah,
like, I'm really good at what I do. Like, and these guys understand that. They've seen me as the opposing coach. And a lot of these guys have seen me on the same sideline now. And they're like, okay, we get it. Like, yeah, there's some – you hate him when you're playing against him. But when he's on your team, it's like, oh, my God, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And it was – the recruiting process has been fun because I basically announced that I was coming back to 11-man you know, kind of in the summer, not really officially, but kind of some people started seeing me at the Bears 8-man games. And shout out Big Mike, you know, him doing the 8-man stuff and kind of getting me back on the football field and let me be a part of that is like, it helped me recruit some of the guys that I ended up getting.
Nice.
And so Big Mike set a lot of that stuff in motion, and the Bears won the 8-man championship, and they got us back to the gold standard.
Yeah.
And now, you know, in the 11-man, we're going to carry that on because that's what we do. So we've been able to sign some big guys out of Tulsa, like 13 and 14 of them. And I'm talking big boys.
Yeah.
Like, O-linemen, starting quarterbacks for them, starting running back, just some great football players. And they're gonna come be a part of the Bears family, and they're going to win a lot of games with me. And I think they're excited about that.
You know, while we're talking about the Bears, as we discuss this, can you tell me, if someone wants to buy tickets for the upcoming games, where can they do that?
Yeah, so you'll always be able to just come and buy tickets at the gate. It's just general admission. You know, it's $10, and, you know, it's like children 12 and under are free. It's like we're trying to give people a, you know, we're not trying to charge someone an arm and a leg. We want people to be able to bring their families and see really good football and enjoy it. We're in the process of right now getting our season ticket done. I don't want to give all that information out because I don't want somebody to steal that idea, man.
Right.
You know, being out for a year, I've had a chance to really sit and think, like, what? How do I want to do this?
Yeah.
And I've been working, man. I know you've seen it. I've been grinding.
Yes.
So
yes.
The season ticket info will come out. You know, our season ticket's probably going to be $60. Okay. And basically all home regular season games and playoff games. So usually we have two playoff games every year.
Yeah.
So that'll get you in six games. But there's a twist on that season ticket. So you're going to get something with it that's pretty unique and pretty cool. And I'm really excited about it.
I love it. I love it.
So, yeah. So we can do family passes, stuff like that. It's just, you know, we want everybody to be able to come. So if you're a family and you got 10 people, we're going to figure out a deal that makes sense for everybody.
So there'll be ticket packages. There.
Yeah. Well,
it's awesome.
You know, and it's like, I can't tell you the specifics right now. Hey, I run this. How many people do you got?
Right.
Yeah, this is how much it is for the season.
That's amazing.
Like, I mean, we want people to be there. That's the thing. Like, the more people in the stands, the more traction that gets, the more local businesses see, like, okay, there's eyes on this.
Right. Well, so you say that. That's a great segue. Yeah. I want to talk to you about sponsorship.
Yeah.
Are you looking for sponsors actively?
Always.
Okay.
Always. So I've made some posts about it on the Oklahoma City Bears page. And, like, I'm working on some deals right now with some guys, but we want to have, like, a, you know, the official record, the official nail salon. We want to find, you know, one of everything and get them latched in with us and a part of the family.
Yeah.
So we have some uniform sponsors. We have two our dark uniforms and our light uniforms have both been sponsored. One is by an oil company that I worked for in the past.
Nice.
And he's always done stuff with me. We got a great relationship. He loves football. And he sponsored a jersey for us. And then our other one was one of my mentors who in the coaching world, he got out of coaching, did well in business, and he's giving back.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They see what we're doing and some of the things that we're doing, and it's going to be good for businesses to latch on with us. We got a community outreach program that we're rolling out. It's called the Bears Care Program. Nice. Basically, Bears Care community outreach project, basically, is what it's going to kind of turn into. And basically, one of my guys came to me, and they're like, Coach, like, I'm an HVAC guy. I've got a skill set. Like, I can do good for people. Let's figure out what we can do as a football team.
Wow.
You know, a lot of our guys own businesses. A lot are trainers. They train kids.
Yeah.
So we can do a lot of different things, whether it's hauling off junk for elderly people or mowing some yards. Or, like, we want to be able to be a beacon in the community. And we want our guys to keep growing into good men and good fathers and good role models and good citizens and even us coaches. Like, we want to be a good thing for the community.
Yeah.
We want them to be able to come to us and know that they're going to get a great football game and a great experience, and they can be a part of this gold standard and this journey that we got going on.
Let me ask you I can promise you there's someone listening to this right now that would love to be a sponsor. I mean, this is reaching far and wide. What's the best way for them to contact you about sponsorship?
So our Facebook page is just the OKC Bears is they can just search that and find us. Myself, they can reach out to me on Facebook, Kevin Cox. You can find me on the Oklahoma City Bears post. Or they can email us at OKBears, so OKBears, the numbers 26 at gmail.com. So OKBears26 at gmail.com. And they can, you know, just say, hey, I heard this, and I'm interested in doing something. And there's something out there for everybody. Right? Yeah. You know, we'll take as much as you want to give money-wise, and we can build a package around that. Right. We have some packages that we can talk about. But to me, it's like we can be unique with things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if someone is more aligned with what we're trying to do in the community, like, we can do more things. Right. Like, that's what we want to do, is create partnerships. So, yeah, they can get with us through the email, through the Facebook, or through, I think even the phone number is on our Facebook page.
Perfect.
So email and phone numbers.
Perfect. So you've said it numerous times, and I think it's going to go a long way within this exact conversation. You've said the gold standard. I've heard you say that. Could you define what the gold standard means in relation to the Oklahoma City Bears?
Well, first, let me tell Choctaw thank you, because I ripped that off them. And, you know, one of our former guys, coaches out there, Terrence Carter. He's a big-time guy out in that community. And obviously, it kind of, you know, we're gold and blue is our colors. And it's like, all right, well, that's a pretty cool kind of slogan. And, you know, the gold standard is the best of what you do. And I think we're the best of what we do. I think I'm the best of what I do, especially at this hobby football stuff. I call it hobby football. I call myself the greatest hobby football coach ever. But it's not. I mean, it is hobby football, but not who we are, because we actually get guys pro contracts. Like, we get them seen by guys, and we get guys back to college. And, you know, we're not just – it's not beer league. We do it serious.
This is truly developmental football.
We got those kind of athletes. Like I said, former professional guys, NFL guys that played for us. I got a list right here. Like, Gerald Jones has played for us. Andre Daniels, that was a four-time state champion quarterback. Carl Lauer, played at Louisiana Tech, was with us. Brandon Newey, a big-time quarterback that played at UCO. And he played for us as well as the Tulsa Thunder and had a big run with those guys. Reggie Arnold played at Arkansas State. He's their second all-time leading rusher. He played for us. Tom Morton played linebacker at OU. He played for us as well, won a national title. It's Larry Burdine that played at OU back in the day. Daquan Lowe played at Carl Albert, played for OSU, played for us. Then we had a guy named Lionel Bivens who was played at Langston, and then we got him some workouts, and we got him to the Arena League. Then he had some CFL workouts. So we've had a lot of big-time players come play for us.
That's a star-studded cast and that's impressive.
I can't even name them all. We have so many big-time college football players, whether it be from UCO or the D2 ranks or even Division I. Like, we've had guys actually come play for us from out of state, and then they move here and they start their lives in Oklahoma City because they started playing football for us. It's pretty cool, man, what this is.
I'm going to ask you another coaching question as we talk about this.
Let me answer your first
one.
It's about the win. I just start talking and I go and I go. But the gold standard to us is winning. But the more having that year off and saying, man, we want to go a different direction with this. Like, we want to be the gold standard on and off the field. We want to be a outlet for not only young men, young women as well, because they're starting to get more and more into football and stuff like that too, but definitely the young men. Like, we want to give them big-time football players that they can reach out and touch.
Right.
You know, not saying that they can't do that at OSU and OU, because they do a good job of doing stuff within the community, but we play such a good brand of football, and we have some real dudes out there, and we want to be able to have an impact on the youth football around Oklahoma City and the metro area. And we want to give these kids guys that they can come out and watch, you know, every other weekend or whenever our home games are, and just be like, man, I want to be like that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've got a chance to do that with Putnam City North and being locked in with their booster club. That's a big deal to us, man, to be able to be in that community, play at that beautiful stadium, and help give back to their program, right, you know, through donations and through their football team running the concession stand. And they get all that money. It helps their program.
Yeah.
And that's big for Coach White, who's one of my quarterbacks. And it's big for, you know, at the high school level, as coaches, you're always looking for funding. Mm-hmm. Outside funding so you can do more and more things.
Yep.
And we're going to be able to provide some of that for this program. And they're excited. We're excited. And we're going to win a championship this year.
As a former Panther myself, that actually that feels great to hear. Yeah, I love
it's
that.
It's awesome.
I love
we're so Coach Wagner and Coach Lane up there have been so awesome, and I think they're so forward thinking, and they're like, man, I think this can help us.
Yeah.
Like especially with the transfer portal, basically in high school now.
Yeah.
So it's like maybe a guy that plays for us has a son, and he's like, man, I want my kids to be up here.
Yeah.
And something happens.
Right, so, right. Never know.
I think we're gonna get some traction with the media.
Yeah.
Because we've had it before with the Bounty Hunters and the Diamondbacks. Like that's one thing I think I've always been able to do a decent job of is getting us in front of some people.
Right.
I'm just a football coach though. And I don't know the media side of things as well as many guys should. So it's like we're trying to create a family and a group of people who, you know, they want to be a part of something like this. Like we ain't got no money to pay people. Like we're trying to build an empire we're trying to be unique with how we build it.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we do fundraising things, we do sponsorship stuff. But when you do sponsorship stuff, it's like you gotta be able to sell a business like, okay, we can do something for you.
Right.
You're not just throwing money into the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're gonna play great football. And if you're a football guy and a business owner, you know, that might go, man, I want to be a part of that. We're going to win. The record, it shows what it is. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's not that I forgot. I didn't forget how to coach football. Like, I built, you want to see the roster I got this year? I mean, it might be one of the best ones we've ever built. So, you know, being able to touch people, you know, everywhere on social media.
Yeah.
Like, that's been the big push for me is getting all the shares and getting all the pushes and just creating buzz and more buzz. And it's like, I want businesses to go, man, if we do some stuff with them, it's going to benefit us. And it's going to benefit y'all because you're locking in with a winner and everybody loves to win. And then we're going to do some really unique, cool things in the football world. And your business can tag along with that and you're part of the family and it's cool for everybody. So, and we do a lot of the give backs. Like we're going to do some free kids camps this year before two of our home games. So like right now, I think we're going to do it on June 8th and June 22nd. So we'll do two morning camps and it's free. We'll get as soon as we get our website up and running, which we're in the works of that now, or we'll do it through our social media. We'll have a registration, and that way, because we got to cap it at some point.
Right, right.
But you know, we're gonna focus on the Putnam City North District as well as all the Little League organizations in Oklahoma City, because a lot of our guys are Little League coaches.
Yeah.
And you know, they all have kids that play out. We want as many of those kids there, and it's summertime; they're out. So parents, like, we want to get y'all's kids up there and be a part of this, and it's free. Oh yeah,
can't fight out there.
No, you can't. And you're learning from former pro guys.
Like, yeah.
It's gonna be an awesome thing. So, you know, we'll have more information as we get closer to that stuff. You know, we'll want to promote it for several weeks in advance. So knowing that we're gonna do that in June, it gives us some time to really get it going. We got some more pressing stuff right now. So
I wanna ask you this. Over the years, you've obviously seen a lot as a coach. If you can, what is a moment that you can speak on that really stuck with you?
In what aspect? Like just a football moment?
Yeah, like just something, it could be something as simple as the progression of somebody that you helped to develop and where they ended up in the end. It could be anything in the realm of football, a moment that stands out.
To be honest, I think it's just all the relationships that have been built. Just, you know, a lot of my guys have been with me for a long time.
Yeah.
Like they started right out of college, and some of these guys are still playing.
Yeah.
And just seeing their kids grow up and seeing those guys become men and grow and become fathers and watching their progression. And I think that's the biggest thing for me. Like, yeah, the winning and all that's awesome, but it's the life, it's the lifelong friendships and the relationships that are built. And, you know, when a player calls you and he's like, I love you, coach.
Yeah.
And, you know, you, as you start getting older, we started talking about those health problems. You mm-hmm. start thinking about mm-hmm. things a little differently. And you start, you know, you start having some ailments and like, oh man, like, is tomorrow? Am I going to be here tomorrow? What's yeah. going on? Or do you have guys that start passing? And it's like, you start realizing it's the relationships that are what's important and the best thing out of all this. And it's the stories and the memories that you have while, you know, on those big road games in Denver, Colorado and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's those long bus rides and those long trips and learning about guys and learning who they are and learning, all right, well, that guy stinks a little worse after a game, or, you know, that guy is, you know, it's just learning the ins and outs with everybody. Yeah. So, you know, obviously from a football standpoint, all the winning, all the championships, you know, and it, to me, it's just seeing the guys celebrate. Like, really, like, I don't really buy our rings. Like, we have, I'm wearing my high school state championship ring from Millwood. I wear that more than anything.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, yeah, I like the winning part because I'm a competitive dude. Yeah. Like, I love to win. I love to show, like, I'm better than you at this. And, but I love when my guys can chirp at people and be like, you only beat us in 5 years. What are you talking about? Or, you know, it's watching them who come in and maybe they've never won anything in their life and they understand, okay, this is what it takes to, like, this is how we got to play this style. This is what it takes to be a winner. Yeah. Just to see the light bulb go off in yeah. guys' head, it's pretty awesome.
I talk often about accidental mentorship. Let's say someone, a kid, a teen, a young adult, somebody that watches you, right? How you move, what you do, someone that tries to emulate you, right? They take you on as a mentor. You have no idea. It happens to us all the time. We never know who's watching us. I want to ask you, in that same situation, what would you hope somebody, a young person that watches you, that listens to you, what do you hope that they learn?
I would hope that they understand that nobody's perfect. There's only been one perfect person, and we hung him on a cross. Mm-hmm. How crazy is that? You think about
that. Pretty wild, isn't it?
So, I'm never going to be perfect. I'm going to make mistakes, but I'm going to do it going 100 miles an hour and with full of passion and love. And I'm a fighter. I'm gonna work. And I get lazy at times. And so I know that I'm just imperfect.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know that they can see, okay, well, you know, I mean good. I want to do good. I want to get better and better every day. So that basically that's probably what I want them to see is, okay, maybe he wasn't at his best that day.
Mm-hmm.
But the next day he's trying to be the best him every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what we have to do is just every day you wake up, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
How can I be good today? How can I impact somebody? And we lose sight of that. Like, we get selfish. Humans are selfish people. And we you know, there's some true ones that are not, and they are the special, special ones.
Mm-hmm.
But every day, for most of us, it's fighting the selfish, oh, I don't want to do that. Sometimes it's like, I got to do that because he's watching. And if I don't do that, then they're going to slack off. And then how do you get them back in the bus?
Yeah.
How do you get them back in line? It's like, well, if we're all moving towards this one goal and we're all like-minded and we all see, okay, this is where we want to go. This is what it takes to get there. Like, we, everything works a little easier. So I would want someone to, you know, if they're watching me, like, I'm going to be a fired up dude, especially if you're watching me on the sidelines or in the football. I expect a lot of effort from people.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear excuses. This is what we do. You should know what we do. You need to do this, this, and this. And if you can't do this, I'm going to find someone that can't do that.
You know what's really interesting is I asked you that question, and I love the pause. And I want to ask you, because I could tell you really, really thought about that. how different do you think you would have answered that in 2012 versus the way that you just answered that question today?
I wouldn't have paused. I would have just started firing. And a lot of that is just, you know, when you're young, you just think different.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
As you get older, it's like, A, I don't want to sound like a dummy. Like, I want to be sincere and I really want to think about this. Like, I want, you know, obvious as a coach, a lot of it's you're judged off winning and losing, but a lot of it you're judged off relationships and whether or not your guys love you. And I think I've proven that the guys love me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's something about me that they like as a football coach, X's and O's wise, but there's something else. Like there's, I can connect with guys. I think.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was, you know, I had a knack for it at Millwood and had a knack for just understanding guys and they saw how hard I worked for them in the recruiting world and you know, it's in the coaching world, it's about, you know, helping people. Mm-hmm. It's about pouring into people. And, you know, I got in some stages to where it was like, this is a me thing. I did this.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, you can't do this without those guys.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, they're doing their part. I'm doing my part. Like, this is pretty magical.
Yeah.
And as I get older, I don't see it so much as a selfish thing anymore. It's like, man, all my guys, we're all winning, man. Like, we're all trying to do something cool. We're trying to make this the best experience. I took a pause, you know, think about it a little bit. It's hard for me to even think about. I never think about stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I should. I don't know.
See, but that's why you're here. That's why you're here.
Yeah, I want to be a good role model to people, but I'm not perfect.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I mean, I don't. I've had some young coaches who wanted to learn. And it's like sometimes it's hard for me to teach other guys how to do things because I don't know. I don't think that's a strength of mine. Now it's a strength of mine when we're on the football field and I'm teaching this, and this. You know, but. I think like in the, everybody's so different. All coaches are so different.
Yeah.
What works for you don't work for you. What works for this guy don't work for this guy. So, you know, it's hard for me to, I guess that's what you tell them is you just say, well, you know, we're all individuals. You got to find what works for you. This is what's worked for me. Like if you want to kind of try some of these things, but it's all unique though.
Yeah.
So every player is different. Every, you know, every coach is different. Like those relationships, so, yeah, you just got to be flexible. You got to be fluid. You got to be able to.
Yeah. All right. We're going to go to our next question, but I want to remind everybody, you are listening to EPH 511. You guys out there, 105.7. Thank you guys so much for listening. Everybody out there, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and all the places that you're able to listen. I am, of course, interviewing the amazing Kevin Cox. Now, I want to ask you a special question because we've been talking about some pretty heavy stuff. I want to break this down, lighten the mood a little bit. If you could go back in time and watch in person, you get yourself a seat at the 50-yard line, absolutely any football game in history, what game would it be?
I'm a Patriots guy.
Oh, wow.
So like, it might be the tough game.
Oh,
just
wow.
Because of the how cold it was, the snow, and then just kind of what that game's been, and just like that moment, like, you know, you just say the Tuck game and everybody knows what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I was fortunate enough to actually go see the last time Peyton and Tom played each other in Foxborough. It was the Broncos and the Patriots. And that was really awesome. And then I've seen some pretty cool college games. But yeah, it would probably be like the Tuck game or even maybe like way back in the day, like an Army Navy game and just watch them three yards in a cloud of dust.
Man.
You know, or go back to watch Jim.
Battles of attrition there.
Yeah, I mean, there's no wrong answer
there. There's not. Like,
obviously, someone's probably going to go, oh, there's so many other great games like the Ice Bowl with, you know, Nebraska.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, I want to ask you another question. This is kind of, this one's a little bit off the beaten path, and you may have mentioned it earlier, so I think you did, so I won't, you don't have to spend a ton of time on it. Is there anyone that you consider a mentor, someone that took you under their wing and really helped to shape the Kevin Cox that I'm sitting in front of today?
Yeah, so coaching-wise, you know, Coach Henry, who was, you know, my linebackers coach at Hera, and then he became the head coach and gave me my first job. Coach Henry and then Coach Bell, who was at Millwood, that gave us an opportunity there. He's a mentor to this day. Like we have lunch. He sponsored one of our jerseys. So Coach Bell and then Coach Kelly, who's with him right now, like the recruiting side of football, he taught me so much about that, how to get guys recruited, and just on the connections, like, he introduced me to so many people. I've gone to a lot of the AFCA conventions with him, and everybody knows him. Everybody loves him, you know. He's just a good old boy beer drinker, and, those old school guys, they all run together, and if you get in that clique, then it's a good one to be a part of. So those three guys in the coaching world, my dad, he's the greatest dude ever. I mean, he's my stepdad, but he's my dad. Like, he's literally the greatest. Like, if he don't have a seat right next to the big man, I don't know if there's a place like that. You know what I mean? It's like, that's how special he is. So those guys, I would say those four guys.
Okay, that's an outstanding answer. So we're coming up to a point where I want for us to kind of do a free-for-all, where I want to just hear from you. But before I do, I want to hit you with, I didn't expect this, but I got listener questions. When I said that I was going to be interviewing you, a couple of people got in touch with me and had some questions. First question, do you still have roster spots that are open? Are there going to be tryouts? How can anybody, get in touch to join the team?
Yeah, so this year we're full right now. We're allowed to have 75 guys on the overall roster and only 53 active on game day. So, I started recruiting and putting this team together, back in the summer. So we didn't have any tryouts this year. It was one of those things where it was like, all right, I'm going to get them where they need to get to with guys that I know and guys that I'm comfortable with. And I think I can build a team with recruiting. I've always recruited pretty well anyways. But it's nice to have tryouts because you find some guys you just don't know about.
Yep.
And it kind of stinks a little bit this year that we're not doing that because you typically find a few of those guys and you're like, man, this is a really good football player.
Yep.
But we're really, really, really good right now.
Outstanding.
We got a really, really good roster. And right now we're full. Probably going into the fall, like after our season, we'll make some posts about a couple of tryouts in the late fall. And we'll try to find some guys going into next year because we'll have some guys phasing out.
Right, right.
And we're always looking to pick up guys. This is kind of what I get hit up, our Bears inbox and stuff. It's like, are you looking for guys? I'm not going to say no to like a guy that's just leaving the NFL or something.
Right.
I'd be dumb if I did something like that. So, just understand, like, this ain't beer league.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to find real dudes.
Right, right.
And I want, I don't want 45-year-old guys. Like, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right,
it's
right.
Just I'm trying to coach football on a whole different level.
Exactly. And,
we don't have a 75-man roster of just XD1 guys and killers, but we got guys that have been part of the family, and they're just with us.
Right, right.
And we got other guys, and the chemistry of our team is really awesome. And it's like, because I built it that way. So right now we're full. If you're a real dude that's done real things in the football world, then, and you're looking for a spot, all you gotta do is reach out and ask.
Yeah.
Or say, hey, can we have a conversation? I'll have a conversation with anybody.
Yeah.
So that's kind of that answer.
Okay. Where do I buy merch is the next question.
So we're working on that. That's part of this whole, level this football. Like, if I had a whole team of people, we would have all kinds of stuff because I got so many great ideas.
Yeah.
But, if there's people out there that want to help and partner up and be a part of something special and we can build something together, that's what we want because, like, our budget is only certain, we only got so much money and we got real stuff that we got to pay for.
Sure.
Yeah, we want to have merch and sell merch, but then I can't sell merch and coach football at the same time.
Sure.
So then it's just, you got to start finding people. So we'll have some stuff out. We'll have some stuff at games, some t-shirts and stuff like that. And, the more of a, a team I can find, the bigger the things that we're going to do.
Yeah.
So I'm working on it. That's what I'm working on. Until then, come watch us win football games.
Yeah, I heard a rumor that you guys were doing a raffle or something like that. Yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah, so that's one way that, you know, unique ways to fundraise.
Yeah.
So we're doing a raffle fundraiser right now, and you can get a ticket from any coach or player, and it's a $20 raffle ticket. And basically the prizes are we're doing an authentic game jersey signed. We're doing 5 season tickets. And then we were doing 2 $500 golden tickets.
Wow.
So basically it's $20 raffle. And all those proceeds go to help put on the season, to help put on our free kids camps, help put on the tailgates that we're going to do. So that if you don't win, you're helping do some really cool stuff.
Yeah, that's amazing.
If you do win, then awesome. And we're going to do more things like that because it seems like people are, you know, they're more willing to do things like that than just say, oh, here, take this donation. It's like you got a chance to win something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they can reach out to us on the Bears page. They can reach out to any. Well, and we're going to start releasing our roster on our Facebook page here soon. It's just I had to make sure it was complete first before I started putting it out. So, yeah, so they'll start seeing that. But that raffle is going to go. We're taking money for that until March 31st, and that'll be done. And then we'll do a live drawing on April 6th at practice. We'll do something fun, and we'll get all the winners picked out. And
so winners don't need to be present to win?
No, absolutely not. And, like, you know, we have a team cash app, so if people want to cash app, they can do that. They can get with a player and $20, and they'll get their part of the raffle ticket. And basically, once they do that, I have a master spreadsheet with all our players and who they've sold tickets to, so we can make sure our guys are doing their part.
Right, right.
So
this wasn't a question. This was a message that someone sent, and it's anonymous, and it's going to stay anonymous. But the person said, Kevin Cox helped me and my family at a time that we really needed it. No matter how tough he comes across on the radio, he is an absolutely solid guy with a massive heart for his guys. Thank you, Kevin. I don't know if you know who that was, if you don't, but I know that seemed like that meant a lot, and I wanted to make sure that I relayed that, I think... This is just me. I've only coached once in my entire life as a coach, and it was basketball. I think there's a tremendous responsibility, and there's a tremendous weight that comes with coaching at any level, any humans, because people are unpredictable.
Yeah.
And you don't know what a person is going through when they're not with you.
Yeah.
And to have the title of coach and to have someone reach out and say something like that, I think, is a very valid stamp on the fact that throughout the years, throughout your seasons, throughout everything that you've done, that you have truly earned that title as coach and that you've been able to leave a lasting mark on people that they would say something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. You know, you know, when you're young, like I said, you think about things way differently.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking from an egotistical way, and like I'm going to be the best, and my guys are going to go play here, and they're going to be the best. And as you get older, you start, like, you see everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you understand life and, you know, differently than what you do at 20 years old, 21 years old, 18 years old. You know, you should. If you're not learning stuff every year, you're just... I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? So,
yeah.
You want to have an impact on your guys, but they have an impact on us.
Yeah.
We got some family members going through some things right now, and it's like, you see all the guys show up.
Yeah.
And you see, it's like, all right, you know, this is real stuff. And that's what makes it so awesome. Is like I said, building those relationships.
Yeah.
And watching your guys grow, watching them grow into men and fathers, and just watch them be awesome dudes. And some guys get it later than others, but that's just part of life. Like, the light bulb clicks, it turns on different for everybody.
Yeah.
And eventually it's going to get there. And it's like, even for myself, it's like, you know, hard-headed, you know, think I know everything, and then you start finding the Lord and start doing some things and your life starts changing. And it's like when you live right,
yeah,
and you treat people right, and every day you're trying to do everything the right way, it's amazing what doors open up and, you know, what relationships become better.
Yeah.
Like, it's just everything falls into place. And it's like, it kind of stinks when you learn it so late. It's mm-hmm. like, man, I wish I would have learned some of this stuff like 15 years ago thought of it differently.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows where I'd be right now? But then I think about it and I'm like, I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Exactly.
Like, there's a reason why I'm this good at this level. And I think it's the relationships with the guys. I think this is where I'm supposed to be. And it's fun.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is our family. This is what we do. And it's, yeah, stuff like that is so awesome. And I love all my guys. Like,
yeah.
even if we butted heads, like if you've strapped up for me and you've, you know, you've been in the same colors as me, like I respect the heck out of you. I love you.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're one of my guys forever.
So it is free for all time. We're coming up to the end. And I know that there's so much you can say about the league,
yeah.
so much. Please take some time. Let's just dump it all out there.
Yeah, so we're joining a new league, the CMFL. Well, it's new to us. It's not new. It's been around for 15 years, maybe. Jimmy Ross runs it. He's the commissioner. He also runs the Kansas City Panthers. So basically, the CMFL is comprised of teams from Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, Southern Illinois, maybe Nebraska. But where there's a Gateway Conference and the Great Plains Conference. So we're in the Great Plains Conference, and it's us and Joplin, the two teams in Wichita, Kansas, Kansas Diamondbacks and the Wichita Skyhawks. The Tulsa Gators are in it. They're our natural rival. So there's other teams like in Kansas City area that are part of our conference as well. So basically it's a regional thing. It's those states and, you know, it's everything's within about 6 or 7 hours. It keeps down on the travel for us. And yeah, man, it's a good brand of football. Last year, the two teams in the championship were the Tulsa Gators and the Joplin Crusaders. And Joplin, they've been around for like 25 years. Like, they have a great history.
Wow.
Sam Sturgis runs that group. They play out of Missouri Southern, so they play at a college stadium.
Yeah.
And it's a great – they do some great things. They're the defending right champs, man.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. We're back. Like, the band's back together. And none of those guys could beat us while the band was together. And I've been able to make the band even better. So we're playing in the CMFL. Our home stadium is Putnam City North Stadium. We're sponsored by the football booster club there. It's going to be a great relationship. We're going to be able to run those kids camps. We're going to be able to do our community tailgates before the games. And then we're going to be able to go throughout the community and do a lot of good there. We're going to get the Bears Care community outreach project started. We're going to start doing things within the community, just helping out.
Yeah.
Whatever people need. If y'all have something, if you know someone that needs some help or some lifting some heavy things, or, you know, just some grunt work that a bunch of big old strong football players can do, like, let us know. Reach out to us on Facebook and let us get something going. We want to be, like I said, a beacon of light in the community. And we want all the little league teams all across Oklahoma.
Yeah.
We play on Saturdays. We want to be here for you guys. Like,
yeah.
We want all your guys to come out in their jerseys. We want to create an awesome atmosphere. We're going to do some stuff at halftime, you know, kicking field goals for prizes and just doing some different competitions. And we'll gear things towards the kids, man. Like, we'll do a flag football game or something out there at halftime. Like, we want to do as much as we can with the resources that we have. And we're hoping to find people that want to partner up with us and get on this train with us. Like,
yeah.
Football, man, everybody loves football. The Oklahoma is a football state.
Yes,
and we are dominant at the level that we play at. And we give a inexpensive outlet for people in the summer to take their families. And they're helping a high school football program make some money as well. They come watch us play. They buy some food at the concession, maybe buy some T-shirts. Be a part of the interaction with the fans at the tailgates and do all the stuff like that. we want to create partnerships, and we want people that want to do some cool stuff like this.
It's awesome. I have one last question.
Yeah.
If you could send a message to the world, this show is downloaded in other countries. So if you could send a message to the world, not about football, but anything at all, what would you want to share with anyone listening here in the U.S., any country, somebody that's driving in their car? Maybe it's a lesson that you've learned that you reflect on, and it's one of the best things in your life. But any message at all that you could send to the world right now, what would it be?
Well, a couple of things. It's like nobody owes you anything. Like, it's your job to be a positive wheel in this cog. Is that the right saying? Or wheel in this cog in this wheel?
I don't know. Yeah, there you go. Cog in the wheel, yeah.
Yeah, it's your job to be a beacon of light or to do good things. It's like, if you want to be negative and you want to bring all that nastiness around, like, nobody wants to be a part of that. Like, shape up or ship out. Like, have a good outlet. Like, not everybody has, you know, the best situation going on. But, like, we can always just get out of that situation by working hard and by surrounding ourselves with people that are like-minded that want to do good things. So it's like, nobody owes you anything. Like, you owe everybody to, you know, don't act crazy. Like, respect other people. Like, we can all be different. You can believe in this, that, whatever you want. I'll respect you as long as you're respecting me, and that's how it should be. We should all respect each other. We gotta fall back on some common sense stuff. It's like the world's getting kind of crazy, and people are just getting way out of line with trying to force ideas and things on people. It's like, that's not who we are as a country. Like, we don't need to force things on people. Like, we all know, like, let's have some common sense. Let's have some dignity. Let's just be good people. And we only have so much time on this earth. Like, what are we doing acting all crazy and stuff? Like, let's find a football team, or let's do something that makes us happy, and, like, go try to make it the greatest thing that you can make it. Like, I've fallen, you know, depression is an issue for everybody. And it's like, you can beat up depression by just putting yourself around good people and forcing yourself to just put on your big boy pants and get up every day and just march through it. And, you know, I've struggled with some things, and the older you get, you're like, well, if I just bear down and just keep stepping, keep marching, keep fighting through it, you know, it's going to end up the right way. Like, you just got to work hard, keep your head down, treat people right. Like, treat people right. And then the world is just a better place. Like, don't be so selfish. Find something you enjoy. Love your people that you love. Like, love them hard. Like, do as much for them as you can.
Ladies and gentlemen, that message from Kevin Cox.
That was all over the place. I'm like a Jack Russell Terrier, man. I'll go here, there, everywhere. So.
Well. You know what, though? That's what it's all about. It's, life isn't always a straight line. I think it's all about the zigzags that we get, that we go through for us to get to our destination.
Sure. Brother, I appreciate this opportunity.
Oh, my gosh. It has been a pleasure.
You're the best. And even going back to the Victory Bowl, man, that was one of the funnest nights, man. That thing should have been like 2 hours, and it was like 5 hours.
Yeah.
We powered through it.
Yep.
And even doing all that stuff at this level, you know, with what Chris Dawson's doing with the Southern Sports Network, and what we're doing with the interview shows, and, you know, we him and Carson Smallwood, myself, have been, like, we've been working behind the scenes to get the Hall of Fame for this region kind of up and rolling, and get it kind of involved with the Victory Bowl, and hopefully we can get the Hard Rock in and kind of make it a weekend thing and do a Hall of Fame induction and an awards show, like, because it'll be done in the fall, obviously, at the end of the season, so... Yeah. It's in Tulsa. It's central for everybody. How awesome is that?
That's amazing.
Like, and we're raising money for good things.
Yep.
And we're getting football players all. We had 16 different states represented this last year. So it's just the level, what we're taking football to at this level, like, and the ideas, it's the right people in the right places at the right time. And it's been so fun. And it's all the energy is so good.
It is. I want to say, you know, you brought up the name Dotson, Chris Dotson. I want to say thank you to Chris. I've thanked him for this many times, but never in this format. You know, we talk about mentors and such. A million years ago in 2012, 2013, Chris reached out to me and said, man, you got a great voice. You could be a great announcer. And I said, I've never done that before. I've thought about it. You know, it's something that I flirted with. And it was Chris that actually got me to come on either with him or with his crew years ago. Since that time, I've worked for CBS, Fox. I've been all over the place with announcing, obviously, this podcast and still doing radio. And I want to take a second to say thank you to him. You know, I ask people about mentorship and all that, but never have I said how thankful I am that he saw that in me before I believed in that in me. And so, Chris, I thank you for that because I wouldn't have had the opportunities in radio that I've had without your tutelage and your mentorship. And I hope you continue to do that with so many people. He has a great product going on. It's called the Southern Sports Network. There's an app that's available for download. So you can get that on your Fire TV. I think it's on Roku as well. And you can always visit on Facebook, Southern Sports Network. Like I said, Chris runs an outstanding product over there. He's an outstanding human being and a gentleman that I strongly respect.
Yeah, he'll be doing our live streams, the Southern Sports Network. They'll be doing the Oklahoma City Bears live streams at all our home games. And yeah, so they'll have us covered, and it's an awesome product. They have fun with it. They understand this level of football.
Yep.
Chris has been he's been there for every step of the way at this level, like whether it's a commissioner or a coach or a player or it's something. He's been around, and he's always had some foresight.
Yep.
Like, hey, man, like, let's get it to this. And me and him have always got along, and we've always like, hey, man, we think we can get it to here, and we're getting it there. So this year is going to be so awesome.
It is. It is. And I can tell folks this won't be the last time you guys hear Kevin Cox on this broadcast, on this station. We look forward to having the opportunity to be able to do this again. We have been on the air for coming up on an hour and 20, an hour and 30 minutes. So with that, folks, thank you guys so very much for joining us here today. I appreciate Kevin Cox for joining us. Thank you so much for being a part of our interview series special here on Prior to the Snap. Don't forget, folks, obviously, we are available iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Say to your Alexa-enabled device, Alexa, play Prior to the Snap radio show on TuneIn. Everybody listening on EPH 511, everybody on Roku TV, the Gospel Station Sports 105.7 out there in Western Oklahoma. You guys are hearing us out there in Watonga, Sealing, Alva, Fairview, Sayre, Hobart, even Amarillo and other areas of Texas, Snyder, Guymon, Woodward, Magnum, everywhere in between. Thank you guys so much for being a part of the show. Thank you guys for listening. And until next time, thanks for listening to Prior to the Snap.